dog.
And real they name.
Grab the log.
Yeah, they're just like claws, yeah. You know. Uh-huh. You put the lever down and they go like that. But in the old days with the big logs and bark an inch and a half or 2 inches thick, about all you had was bark oftentimes. And then you had a hammer dog, you called it, where you'd throw it in, it had one spike, then you'd hammer it down in there. And that did some good, but it wasn't like the log dogs they have now, where they were just a hair dog and come up from the top and bottom like, and they grab them on each. That's another thing, the blocks, what they call the dogs, where the dogs fit in the blocks,
mm-hmm.
and they call them the knees. But anyway, on the new rigs, and I never had the experience of working with those air dogs. I used to wish that I could control some of that stuff. You'd have to break in a new man, you know.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to learn your sign language. But anyway, it was dogs. And then the mechanism that turned the log was called a nigger.
Uh-huh.
And they tell me over there now that's forbidden. You don't, you don't call them niggers anymore.
I can appreciate.
But to me, it was a nigger was just something to turn the log with.
Right.
I never associated it with.
No. It wasn't derogatory.
No.
What was the advantage of having a pond for the logs to come up?
Well, to move them around.
Uh-huh.
But in later years, I don't think they got a pond over there.
No.
Maybe a little bit. But they used to be able just to get the logs around.
What would be the largest size log that you can cut? I remember seeing a picture of August Stang standing by a log, and it was taller than he was,
yeah.
But he wasn't a real tall man.
No. Well, the carriage that I was sawing on, the knees or blocks, they'd open up 54 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the number of logs that were bigger than that.
Yeah.
You'd get them on there, and then you'd have to saw a thick slab about as far as you could and keep it from breaking off. Come back and get a hold of the nigger and break it off, set it back, then turn it over a little bit, give you room to get through there.
Well, now, they talk about quarter sawing, and how did they saw logs to keep them from warping and cupping? Was there a particular trick to that?
I don't know if it worked or not, but I was taught that if you had an arc log like that, you loaded the arc up or down. And so when you go to cut in the lumber, it'll just bow up like that,
mm-hmm.
instead of going sideways. And you nail that down, it'll nail out straight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have them going sideways, there's nothing you can do about that.
Same way with dimensional, they twist and...
Yeah, but there's timber-bound logs.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, as you saw into it, it'll start pinching.
Oh.
You ever saw the board and it start
yes.
pinching?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's timber-bound. And you occasionally get them over there. We used to saw... The bigger logs are 2 4-inch cans, and they go to the resaw to finish sawing up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen going through, and when you get that sawed up, it just flop like that. Both of them mm-hmm. just spring out like that.
I'll be done. Well, how did they decide whether they were going to cut boards or dimensional? Was there a particular thing that, unless it was an order or...
Well, dimensions usually was for enlarged.
Uh-huh.
And pine was just, you get the pine log, which was mostly what we had in the early days. But you get the, what they used to call it, get the uppers off before you start concentrating on the common.
Mm-hmm.
The and the uppers being the shop and the select. And then you had to watch.
Select was the premium board.
Yeah.
With no knots and.
Yeah, well, D select takes some knots.
Uh-huh.
And then there's C select and D select. And we, most of the orders that we'd get, it'd say so and so D and better select. The shop, they'd want number two and better probably. And that's where there's a block. Knot here and there where they can get cuttings out of them.
Yeah.
Those cuttings are figured by the cuttings in the old doors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The stiles along the side and the muttons across, and you got to have a certain amount of those cuttings in the board to make it a one or a two.
Well, how about they cut much fur?
Well, they've got a lot of it now, but we didn't in those days. But that went into dimension. Unless it was select, they'd go for first select.
Yeah. And lodgepole pine, is that something they call larch later, or what?
No, larch is a tamarack.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Lodgepole, I turn up the nose at those, but I bring them in now.
Cutting a lot of things they didn't before.
Well, in fact, they tell me that if there's a chance for a big log anymore, they don't want it.
Yeah.
Because they're geared up for
smaller. And now you have quite a lot of bark on some of your studs and things like that. Or at least some of the studs I've seen,
mm-hmm.
There's still bark on them.
Well, the bark's supposed to be taken off before they get to the saw anymore, but they have what they call weighing where the bark was.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, the grading rules, they'll accept a certain amount of weighing on certain grades.
Yeah. Did you ever cut any hardwood?
No hardwood trees, but when they closed down the last mill in the east, they brought in a whole slug of hardwood cans.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit over around the mill for years, it seemed like. They take one of them once in a while, and they put it on the carriage there and saw it up and what they wanted to make liners for conveyors.
Oh.
With chains to run on. And finally, it was all used up. And they put steel in there for the chains.
Yeah. What about cottonwood? They did cut some of that up in the Wallowa area.
Yeah, they used to get a cottonwood once in a while, but when they got to making paper chips, that's where most of that would go.
It wasn't too strong? Yet.
No. I imagine it rot easily, too. But it's supposed to make good writing paper.
What do you think about all those trees between here and, over in the Pendleton area, down there toward Boardman, that they're raising for paper?
Yeah, that's interesting to go by that.
It
looks like they got some kind of a trimmer where they must run it up there to take the limbs off.
I would say so.
You know, they doing the logging anymore on these logs, they have these machines that go in there and they grab the tree like that. And you got a clipper that clips it off at the bottom.
At the bottom.
And they go right up, take the limbs off as it goes up. I guess they do that before they clip it, maybe. But.
In the old days, do you remember, like up at Dark Canyon, there's a number of long butts there that they, when they cut down a tree, they left the butt.
Just a short piece?
Well, some of them were short and some of them were longer than others. Was that because they were pitchy or?
Could be rotten. I don't know if it's not the pitching. But one problem of the butt, it swells out like that, you know.
Oh, uh-huh.
When you get it on the rig, if your tapers are not, the blocks, they have what they call tapers, and they put it back, you theoretically you try to saw parallel to this center,
mm-hmm.
and the growth lines are always thicker at the butt than they are other ways. So I imagine they never like to have butt logs.
Yeah.
And then bark was thicker on the buck too, so if you didn't taper, you'd get short boards on this side, turn it over and you get short boards on the other side.
Well, that's an interesting thing about cutting. How long did you have to study to be a sawyer?
Wanted to be sawyers, but never get there. Most of them, they're 25 or 30, I guess, before they get in there. But they're apprenticed, you might say. They're riding the carriage, and they're watching all those things now. But you don't have the guys on the carriage anymore.
True.
And I got on, and I worked, it was May when I stopped 3 or 4 weeks for school was out to graduate to get that job in the mill, because the mill had been down 11 months.
Uh-huh.
I had a chance to go delegate. But kind of lost train of thought.
You said you quit school a little bit early in order to get the job, because the mill had been down.
Yeah, I went out there and rode carriage all that summer. And I got the substitute setting a little bit, where you had to figure, we had a steam set work. You pull the lever and then have a deal and set up whatever board you wanted. And I did that. Marion Bach was the setter, and he got sick. And I got in setting, right? First summer. Well, I was 17, I guess. By the time I was 21, I was sawing.
Uh-huh.
And they used to say that I was the first guy that Augie had let him saw, when he saw over there.
Well, that's good.
But after that, new company came in there, everybody got a chance at it.
From the time you learned, you had a good teacher, your dad.
Yeah. That's another thing. Marion Bach, I just mentioned, he was a Pole.
Uh-huh.
All-headed Pole. No education, but boy, he's well-read. No formal education.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was working at the college, and he came up to see me one day, and he was talking, sitting there talking. He says, "Hey, when you come and went to work on the carriage," he said, "I felt so sorry for you." He says, "Your dad made you do things that nobody else ever had." And it just snapped to me that he wasn't going to have anybody saying that he's giving his kid a break.
Well, you learn good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, you were working over at the mill when they were cutting bucks. Stock for making boxes, and then later luggage stock.
Yeah, they put all that stuff in about wartime, I think.
Yeah.
But I never worked over there, didn't have any of that.
That was more in the
plainer end
of it.
I used to like to go over there and get some of that thin boards. I've made a lot of things out of it. You see my desk there?
Yeah.
Her sewing machine deal here behind you? I made that. That wasn't that small stuff.
And in those days, they let the employees bring some of the boards home.
Yeah.
Yet.
Stuff was supposed to have been kind of scrap, I guess.
Yeah. I remember Jerry Evans, a friend of Dad's, made desks, and he made a number of different things, And one thing I remember is a bullet that was cut in two with a saw, and he made it into a gun cabinet. Mm-hmm. I imagine you saw a lot of things like that that you saw it through.
Oh my gosh, I'm talking about stories. One day, I started to saw into a log, and I didn't know what was happening at the time, but I knew something was happening. But there was a piece of metal on a slope like that, and it was under the bark, and it kind of grown over, you know. And I run and hit that there, and it just sheared all those teeth off of that saw. And they went by the tail sawyer like a machine gun, went in the wall over there.
Whee!
And it's just a wonder somebody didn't get hurt.
And that's why you worry about some of these, what they call tree huggers that go out and drive things in trees. It's very dangerous for
right.
a sawyer or the people in that.
I've heard stories about, you've heard maybe the Wobblies.
I never heard that.
I think they had the organization had a W something or other. A lot of people call them Wobblies. It was a union, but they didn't mind what they did to try to get their way. And over in Idaho someplace, somebody dug the rod out of one log and threw a log chain in there. And then threw rod back in there, you know. The sawyer right in there. And it just blew that band mill up, I guess.
Oh, boy.
And one guy got killed. He just went clear across the mill, hit some guy in the chest.
Just like a bullet.
Yeah. Big joints, too.
Uh-huh.
And there's another case that wasn't a wobbly, but you lose the logs off the carriage sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Sawyer, had one that was often kind of sitting like that. One down the bark hole, one end down the bark hole, and the other end up here. And they put a chain around it to try to pull it ahead. And the sawyer kept giving a little, and it wasn't coming. And pretty soon, it poked that log right through the wheels of the spokes of the wheel, fan mill. And that thing blew up, I guess.
Yeah.
I can remember after I went sawing, Dad was sawing on the other side, miles on one. But one of the things we had to watch for was slivers. Sometimes when you saw through there, the shaky log, a sliver will flip out like that. And then you come back and that sliver catches the saw.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not watching for it, pretty alert, you pull the saw off.
Mm-hmm.
My dad pulled the saw off and it broke. And it wound up all around him in the saw box there. And he just had a couple of scratches on one arm.
Very fortunate, I say. When did they go union with the mill?
I think that was about in the 40s. I know 38, Home and Hanks are having trouble, and that's the reason they closed up. They had new timbers and all ready to fix the mill up to go, and they got this union trouble, and shut her down, moved everything up to Interlock.
Yeah. Well, the union did help because it got uniform wages and helped the men.
I think they did, but I was on two strikes in my career, and I never thought we gained anything as far as I was concerned.
Well, you actually lost.
Yeah. We were off 4 months one time there. Took a lot of money to live, and you didn't. Went out, hayed, and whatever you could do. You couldn't get any unemployment insurance.
Right. Well, that one strike was particularly bad because the fellow got back to work. It was over getting the fellow back to work, and then he got back to work, and then he quit.
Yeah, Johnny Dockweiler.
Yes, I remember that strike.
Yeah, that's the other one that I...
Yeah.
And Carl Hermans, who was very staunch in his belief in unions, is a person that, he says, I believe in compulsory arbitration. That doesn't always get them there either, but...
No. But it did get health benefits and things like that that people needed in your retirement.
Well, we didn't have any health benefits until Valsets took over out here.
Uh-huh.
Heck, I had three kids and paid all my own doctor bills.
Yeah.
We did have a little organization called the Mount Emily Lumber, the Mount Emily Hospital Association, that three employees were looking after it, and what was the guy in Elvis' name, I guess? Anyway, he did the book for it.
Manuel Van Boston?
No, it's the guy above here.
Don't remember.
Well, that's funny, I can't think of his name. But that was all right, well, he'd take care of all that. We put in a little bit and paid for a lot of our doctor bills, but just for the employee.
Yeah.
The family wasn't covered.
I remember when Brace got fired.
Yeah?
He was supposedly doing union work on company time.
Augie told him, he says, don't call me on the company phone. And he did. Yeah, he's a cousin to my wife.
Oh. After we get done, I have a question to ask you. I was trying to think of something else that would be interesting to people to know. It is important to know how things worked and how they came, how we got where we are from where we came from. But the union made things better and all of our lives were better. Sometimes they went a little bit farther than we both think they should have. But we did benefit from it.
Yeah, I think it definitely benefited. But I wasn't a staunch union person. I went, when they finally said we all had to join, I joined. Then I took part in union activity. It was interesting that I was on the board that does the arguing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the term I want.
Well, arbitration is similar.
But anyway, I sat on one side of the table. Then I got the main boss, and I had to sit on the other side of the table.
That's looking at it both ways.
Yeah.
But the bosses don't have too much protection, like what happened to you and a few others when they changed ownership.
I think the thing about us over there, we're working with a mill that had machinery that's put in there in 1925. It's obsolete, and it's built for big logs. Most of the logs were small, and what they were trying to do is trying to get a big cut out of the old machinery and trying to get the guys to do it. And I was fortunate when I got to be foreman, the guys worked for me, and we went up a little bit, but it wasn't enough, and they gave me the go. And they put a guy in behind me that he cussed the guys out every time he went by one. He cussed them out. And he didn't last long. And they just kept changing foreman. And eventually they They modeled the mill. Yeah. It's the only mill left now. All of the Idaho mills are gone.
Well, we had all kinds of little mills all over the valley. Mm-hmm. I can remember as high as 12 or 14 of the little mills.
Well, there's a difference. They're working multiple shifts now. Well, those little mills didn't, one shift was probably all they used. I know Augie never run except a little bit one summer there to get his inventory. When they first started up, he run a night shift for a while. And then up at Perry, after they rebuilt the mill and moved to Pondosa, they run two shifts because they only had one head rig. The mill that burned had two head rigs. One thing, I guess, is lights in those days. Good lights at night wasn't very good, something they all had. Do you remember out here at Lone Pine, the planer that used to be out there?
I remember that little mill was out there, yes.
And they had their mill up Light Canyon.
Uh-huh.
And they'd haul their lumber down to that. And I go up Light Canyon and see where that mill was once in a while. And you have to strain to see what remnants of where that mill was.
Well, I remember the sawdust piles being up there on that Green Mountain Road. Was that?
Uh-huh.
I think that's what they called that.
Well, I wasn't right up the canyon, up the canyon very far. But there were, there was a mill up here one time. One guy was working over in the last mill over there, and he had a mill and he was running up there. And years later, that very same place, everybody was going for sawdust.
Right. Yeah, up Mill Canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there was some southern people that had one up south of La Grande up there, too. I can't remember their names.
Well, this guy, what was his name? He had that brick house across the mill schoolhouse. I mean, courthouse.
Oh.
He come from Tennessee.
Buckley?
Anyway, he had the mill at Union.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about Pappy Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had the mill over at Union.
When I got canned over here, I went over there to see if I could get a job.
Uh-huh.
And he just had me stand around a while. Took me to dinner. And he says, well, I guess not.
Well, he was with McCants, wasn't he, for a while?
Yeah, I think they started out together.
Yeah. And it no longer is in existence, like so many others.
Pondos and
Peacocks, Winander.
Mills of Baker.
Yeah.
One halfway and one at Richland. The one at Bates is not there.
No, that's all gone. You go out on the highway and logs will be going both ways.
You wonder
where they're taking them and how much it costs to get them there.
Well, they're hauling logs from Idaho over here now.
Oh, boy.
And I know Ruth came home from the beauty parlor one day and some gals in there, so her husband is hauling logs in from around Hetner.
Boy.
But they have these long poles going that way. And they out there by Umatilla, just up the river a ways, they got a chipping mill. They had a big fire.
They had a big fire. I happened to be there that day they had the fire.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I got a brother-in-law that lives right out by there. You know, they call it Umatilla, I guess, but it used to be where the damn people lived.
Yeah, McNairy City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I drove out there to see as much of the fire as we could see.
Did you know Norm Stroth?
Yes, very well.
He's a brother-in-law of me.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, he married Faye Andrews. Yeah. That's right. I never thought, you know, I must think a little better than I'm doing, because I knew Faye and her sister, Kay, that married Bill Dietrich.
Yeah.
And then when she was married to her first husband, we were all working at the Shake Switch shop when she got engaged.
Was that right?
You remember that Shake Switch shop down there by the old telephone building? And I was just a kid, but I was helping make the ice cream.
Ooh. Oh,
and Kay worked in there, called Helma's. Helen Cross owned it, and Velma O'Neill, and they called it Helma's.
Yeah, it's seeping back in there. Yeah.
That isn't what we wanted to talk about, but...